Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Listen, mister.
Rick Schaefer on Morning Mayhem is brought to you by Edwards Food Giant. Edwards Food Giant, the meat people.
Good morning, Rick.
Morning, David. Good morning, Roger. Hey, good morning, Justin. You know, isn't it great to have a coach who, number one, he is so legendary. He can say whatever he wants to. He can do whatever he wants to. But to say, hey, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. Oh, have we released that yet?
I know.
That's just,
I love it.
It's hilarious. I love it, too.
I do, too.
You know, I've said all along, and I did have the opportunity. I was sitting right in front of him at Jim Lindsay's funeral, and he was sitting next to Matt Zimmerman. And I've met him before, and I've talked to him a couple times before, but you kind of have to remind him. It's been a while. And I said, first of all, I thanked him for the way he treats Nolan Richardson. John Calipari has been life-giving to Nolan Richardson. You know, Nolan lost his wife a little over a year ago. John Calipari has just embraced him and wants him at practices, encourages him to come to games. He wasn't going to go to that game where they were going to honor him last year.
Right.
Had Cal not and Matt Zimmerman not said, Coach, you got to come tonight. We're playing Texas. You got to be there. And then they honored him. So I thanked him for that, and I did share with him, and I said, I know humility won't, because I think he is a fairly humble guy for all he's done. And I said, you are the biggest hire that Arkansas has ever made.
Right.
And he kind of looked at me, and I said, because it's not that he will eventually be as good as at Arkansas as Nolan was or Frank Broyles was, or, you know, they became legendary, but they weren't legendary when
right,
they hired him.
Right, right.
And so here's a guy, and you look at the Arkansas schedule, I know it's a little frustrating that the games aren't at home, although he did point out that three of them will be at home next year.
Yeah.
Arizona, Michigan. Yeah. Michigan. So, and that's okay. So it's next year, it's going to be a bang-bang home schedule, but no coach, even Nolan, couldn't get games like he's getting. And he's already got four, and he says there's another one in the works on a neutral court. Now, who's that going to be? I don't know. Is it going to be bigger than North Carolina or Arizona? And so I thought you could only play two exhibition games. Obviously, I'm out of touch. I didn't know that because he's already got one schedule with Gonzaga, and then he breaks it and looks at his coaches and said, aren't we playing these games?
I know.
You know, Kansas and Memphis. I mean, it's just he is amazing, and I just have to say, I have no idea where Arkansas basketball will be when he decides to retire. I hope that's a long time from now.
Yeah, I agree. Someone says, Ethan says he was talking about, Coach Cal might have been talking about the ACC Challenge, so he has to be talking about Duke. I don't know if that was the...
Well, he's talking about next year, because this year, the ACC Challenge, Arkansas is at North Carolina. So when he was talking about next year's home schedule, he said Arizona, Michigan State, and there'll be an ACC opponent.
Gotcha. Maybe that's what
because,
it was,
because that'll be the home game. I don't think he mentioned who it
was.
Yeah,
Rick's got it spot on.
That makes sense. A couple things real quick,
that's
too.
That's who it was. He says it's an ACC team. You all know who it is. But he didn't say it. So I didn't know if he didn't.
Maybe it was Duke.
Well, we don't all know who it is because they haven't announced it yet.
Well, he said more specifically, he said, y'all all know who I hope it is.
Yeah, okay.
Kind of alluding to
Duke,
him wanting Duke.
Okay.
Well, there I mean, what a fun year. Even if three of those games are exhibition games, you get the other ones. I mean, it's you know, he knows what he say. He said, listen, that he said the Thanksgiving Day game last year was one of the highest rated ever. He said, you know, and he knows it's good promotion for the brand, for the kids. And so I know what, Justin, you mentioned last week, we wish he had more of those at Bud Walton, but he knows the value of the brand and the I think he said it was the largest audience ever, or like in decades, for that game, too, I think.
Well, here's the other thing you have to consider, and I shared this yesterday. Okay, when you're making all these arrangements, right now, ABC and ESPN have exclusivity on the SEC. So if you're going to play a game at Bud Walton Arena like that, one of them has to take the game. But if you want to be on CBS and Fox, which most SEC teams are not, you play these other teams. If you play a Big Ten team, it's going to be CBS or Fox. If you play an ACC team, it's going to be, I think it could be ESPN or Fox. If you play a Big 12 team like Arizona, it's going to be Fox. So it gets you on other networks that the SEC is not attached to because it's not your home game.
Right.
If it's your home game, it's ESPN or ABC. Now, again, like I say, you would think if it's, say, Arkansas and Michigan State, wouldn't ESPN be interested in that? You'd think so. But at any rate, you get on other networks, you get more exposure. And Cal can do that because he knows everybody.
That's crazy.
He knows everybody.
You know, the other thing, by the way, that we'll thank Edwards Food Giant again for sponsoring Rick each week. They are the meat people, multiple locations across the state, so go by and see them today. Talking about this class, you know, you got a lot of the media got a chance to watch them practice yesterday, and I think he said the average age of the current roster is 18 years and 7 months.
Wow. Yeah.
And for a reference point, I saw this in the Democrat Gazette, that the Michigan team that won the national championship this year, average age 21 and 7 months.
Yeah.
So it's a full 3 years. I mean, that's a huge difference. And then the other thing that was pointed out by a lot of people, just this team looked bigger. They were surprised. They have six players that are listed at 6'11 or taller. Now,
there's
only one is a big body type, but still just very lengthy team, and obviously a lot of those are young too.
At the end of last year, we were all asking, okay, he's bringing all these guards in, but look who's leaving. And even last year, Arkansas didn't have the size it needed once it got deep into the NCAA tournament. And you're thinking, man, what's he going to do? Well, here they come. 6'11", 7 feet. I think he's got two that are over 7 feet.
Three
at 7 footers. You know, to me, the biggest concern will be beds on the road. You know, what hotels have all these beds for 7 footers? I don't know.
Well,
and you can custom make them at home, I guess. But, so now you've got some size plus these guards. In fact, you've got so many good guards. You're looking at, say, Thompson, the guy that reclassified late, who's a 5-star player. We've talked about this with our basketball experts. I think he could be a 2-year player because he's coming in here. He's younger than everybody else, and you're thinking, okay, you got the number 2 player in the country. He's a guard. He's a one and done. And then you got a couple others, maybe one and done. Billy Richmond will be gone after this year, most likely. This guy could come in, establish himself, and maybe give you a second year. And I think that's another thing Cal's looking at is how can I get guys in here that I'm not just going to lose after 1 year all the time. So this is the foundation, I think, of maybe the next 2 or 3 years it could be really, really good.
You know what's interesting is that, you know, we maybe over the years had a number one recruiting class every once in a while.
But no one had one.
Yeah, I was thinking we had that was the Corliss year, I guess. But now it's like, it's no big deal. We got like 4 or 5 stars. It's just like, no, we expect it now. It's crazy how this thing has flipped to where we're expecting to be number one, number two. I mean, that's, it's just the power of Cal,
That is his, and you know, the other thing is, and Kevin McPherson makes this clear, if it gets into a bidding war over one, he won't.
I get that.
He knows what his limit is,
and
he'll pay so much for a player. But if it goes over that, it's like, okay, next. Because there's still, there's 23 or 24, maybe 5-star players out there every year. So if you don't get one, you can get another one.
That's right.
And of course, his record, this is where he has the strength that no other coach has. None. Not Izzo, none of them. Is that the money his players have made in the NBA. And he said, we'll pay you some money now, but it doesn't compare to what you're going to make in the NBA if you come here and play here for us.
Speaking of money, just transitioning real quick
to
baseball. it's amazing. Of course, all the 12, was it 12 or 15 players that were drafted? 15.
15.
All of them signed.
Well, and three of them were coming through the transfer portal. 12 were on the roster last year.
Yeah, which is an amazing number. Pretty darn impressive. Of course, some of these guys did not get, playing time, or not much playing time, that is.
Right.
But the other thing that's interesting, Roger and I were talking about it earlier, is that not one of the Razorback signees signed with a major league team. And, they lost a few guys over last year, or lost at least one last year. And so I know they wanted to try to avoid that. But either they were very good in their choices, that they made sure they were not going to get a kid that was going to go to the major leagues, or they backed off on maybe the talent level just a hair to make sure they got the player in the program. I don't know, but that was interesting. Not one signed with a major league team this year.
We were blessed last Friday to have Matt Hobbs on the show, and he gave us some great insight into that. Yeah, no, they didn't back off on their talent. He said they had three that they thought would be drafted, and they weren't. Now, that could have been increase in NIL. it could have been they let the major league teams know what it was going to take to sign them, and they weren't willing to pay that much for them. We've seen that happen before with good players. It could have been either of those, but no, they like the talent that's coming in. And we had Matt on the same day that Arkansas announced signing a pitcher from Japan. And that's a first. No SEC team has ever signed a high school player out of Japan before. I think Stanford had one a couple years ago. So this is a whole new deal. And he walked us through the process of how that happened. The guy does speak some English, which is good, because I don't know if you watch Major League Baseball, and say one of their Japanese guys, or let's say even a person who speaks Spanish, is the game-winning hit, and they're on the start of the game, they've got an interpreter there with them. So I said, are you going to have an interpreter with this guy? He says, no. He says, and we're already working on his English. He's going to be okay. But it's interesting, the team they put together. And, you know, Dave Van Horn said in a press conference, and I think he's got one today too, that their NIL increased, and that's they could go out and get some players that maybe they couldn't get before. Yeah, yeah.
You know, yeah, that's what I thought. I'm talking about millions more.
No, I don't know that.
If I'm not mistaken.
Don't know that. But if that's the case.
I could be way off, but I know they had much more money this year than they had last year, for example.
Which is how you get some guys that might have said,
right,
okay, this is what it takes to sign me because I know I can get this at Arkansas. Plus, you just think, major leagues, they really are understanding the value of college baseball. I can remember, of course, I was there for most of Norton DeBryan's great years, and then Dave was hired. I guess I was already out of the athletic department. Yes, I was. But Norm, every year, the draft just drove him nuts. And he never knew whether to – well, he did. You just had to cooperate with Major League Scouts. But he hated to, because he knew he was going to lose his players after their junior years, and he hated that. Or you have to battle high school players signing. And so it was – but Major League Baseball back then – did not regard college baseball as a great grounds for development. And also, Major League Baseball had a lot more minor league teams at that time. Now they've cut down their minor league teams. Each major league team only has four minor league teams. And because of that, they want to see their players develop faster, so they appreciate college baseball to the point where they've even proposed, by the way, that's a great song, that in the future drafts, you can't draft high school players. Now, that's not going to pass, but boy, would college baseball love that.
All right, last thing we got to ask you before you go. Again, thanks to...
You're throwing me into the ring of fire?
Edwards Fujian. Yeah, no.
Are you bound by wild desire?
No, I'm not. All right, see if Rick can get this in. On this day in 1994, Rick, the 14th perfect game in the history of Major League Baseball was thrown. So if you can,
you have to give me some clues on that.
Okay, so here's the clue.
This was shortly before the season was canceled.
This name also shares a name with a famous country music singer, and actually even bigger than country music alone. He sort of crossed over to pop too.
So it's Cash?
No, that's a good guess.
Well, that's who you're playing.
No, that's just random. So that's just random.
That was just random. So give me the clue again.
So 1994, on this day, there was a pitcher that threw the 14th perfect game. And so it was, and I'll give you the hint. This should be the first hint. He played for Texas.
Nolan Ryan.
Nope. Again,
Nolan Ryan never threw a perfect game.
He shares a name with a very well-known
country singer.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh, Texas, Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers is correct. I knew you'd work your way through it. Good job there, Rick. All he needed, Roger, was a little bit of help is what he needed.
Yeah, Kenny Rogers was the country singer, was not the gambler, was one of the great songs ever. Would you call that a country song? Because
well,
it was on pop
well,
songs,
that's what
too.
I said. He was a crossover. Wouldn't you say that, Rog?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, there's no doubt. I think he was probably one of the first ones to.
But you know the song I hated.
Crossing over.
Ruby, Take Your Love to Town. I hated that song. I hated it.
Is that the one you always sing, Roger?
Oh, it's awful. That he's going to shoot his wife because he's she's going out and cheating on him. Oh, I hate that.
it's a free trick.
So as good as The Gambler was, that's how bad that song was.
Yeah, but Baz doesn't like that one time at karaoke, I did Reuben James because I love that story. It's a great story.
Okay. Reuben James.
Yeah. It's a great story. It's just not one that too many people know.
Great stuff as always, Rick. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Ricky.
Hey, and I'm sorry Johnny Cash didn't throw a perfect game.
Well, you know what? It was on this date in 1963 that this was number one in the great country
really?
Of America. Yeah.
I think I've shared either this song or Big Bad John were the first record I ever bought, and I think Big Bad John was before this one.
Well, listen to this version real quick.
Oh, is this you?
This is so good. Listen to this. No. I want Justin to do this.
Fuego es el amor.
Spanish version.
Oh, great. He became a super lore. How about that? That's hilarious.
Let's see if he gets to it. Here we go.
Yo sentí que sus llamas me abrazaban. Con engan su ador y me devoraban.
I do. I like you, Raj. My new favorite.
He did it so well.
I want Justin Moore to cover Small Town USA in Spanish.
I can barely speak English.
All right, Rick. Have a good day, buddy.
All right, you guys too. Thank you.